So we saw the Gemara on Daf Gimel on the base, it was the top of the Omud. It really started on the previous Sugya. If you remember, we're discussing why was it that Eliyahu HaNavi told Rabbi Yossi not to enter a churva. Not to enter a churva. And the Gemara said it could be for any one of three reasons. If you look, it really started two lines from the bottom of the previous Amud. Let's go back. Tana Rabbanan. Mipnei Shloisha Dvarim. It's for three reasons. Ein Nichnasin L'Churva. That you're not supposed to enter a ruin. Number one, Mipnei Chashad. As we explained, because you're entering a quiet place like that, so it arouses suspicion. Rashi says he might be involved in Znus. Number two, Mipnei HaMapoiles. Dangerous because the wall might fall down. It's obviously a building that has been no upkeep or maintenance. And thirdly, Mipnei HaMazikin. Mipnei HaMazikin, there are evil spirits that lurk around in an empty building. So for those three reasons, one should not enter an empty building. So now the question becomes, why in fact do you need all three reasons? Why would one reason not have sufficed? So the Gemara says, we're going to take it one by one. We're going to examine each reason and see why it is that you need that reason. In other words, in which case would it be relevant, that particular reason? So the Gemara starts off, Mipnei Chashad. We're going to first examine the reason of Chashad. Chashad was, as we said, this arouses suspicion. The taper clay mishum mapoiles question mark. Look at the bottom Rashi. Taper clay kloimar lomo lonu gimel taimim ledovor echot. Why do we need three reasons for the same principle? Surely hare dai, it would be sufficient, but achas mehen. If you just tell me that you cannot enter a ruin because, for example, of practical reasons, maybe the wall will fall down, then that's it, finish. What do you need more than that? Why would you need to add extra reasons? Says Rashi, and here Rashi is obviously giving the game away. Imloi, if not for the fact, shebol lamedcho, maybe each reason is coming to teach you, sheyesh shois, there are times, she'ein hatam hazeh, where one reason would not, for some particular circumstance, it would not apply. And therefore, v'tzorech la'aniach b'shvil zeh. Now, the only reason why you have to avoid the building is because of a different reason. In other words, each reason is a perfectly solid reason on its own right, but there may well be circumstances in which one reason or the other do not apply, and that's why you need the other reason. So Rashi is really giving the game away and setting you up. That's clearly going to be the Gemara's teretz. In other words, the Gemara is going to explain that there may well be circumstances in which one reason does or doesn't apply, and therefore you need all three altogether. So that's what the Gemara says. Look at the bottom line now. Mipnei chashad v'teper klei mishum mapoiles. Why and when would it be relevant? The reason of chashad that arouses suspicion. You've got the reason of mapoiles. So once you tell me that there's a concern that the wall might fall down, then surely that would suffice. Why would you ever need the reason of chashad? So the Gemara
sounds like this is a good place for a tzricha construct.
Yeah. That's exactly what the Gemara is really saying. It says the Gemara, the first word on the next Amud, b'chadati. What does it mean, b'chadati? We're talking about a building which is relatively new. It happens to be that it's desolate, but you cannot say that there's a concern that the walls are going to fall down because it's a new building. It's not habited. It's uninhabited at the moment. So therefore, that would answer the Gemara's question. You cannot suffice with the reason of Mapoiles. Why not? Because in some circumstances, Mapoiles does not apply. When does Mapoiles not apply? It does not apply when you have a new building. So if you have a new building, then mapoiles is not a concern, and that's why we've got to employ the reason of chashad. The obvious question being the other way around then. So once you have chashad, why do you need mapoiles? We're going to explain soon.
Can you understand churva as a new building? I thought a churva was an old
building. No, it doesn't have to be. It normally is. That's what Gemara is telling us. Churva just means a place which has been deserted.
Okay.
So it could be a brand new building, and for whatever reason is no longer inhabited. So there could still exist the reason of mazikin, as we're going to discuss in a moment. There could still exist the reason of chashad, but mapoiles in that particular circumstance would not apply. Okay, so we're talking about a new building, says the Gemara. You're telling me that that's why we need the reason of chashad? Because mapoiles doesn't always apply, namely in a new building. The taper clay, mishum mazikin, question mark. You're right. If you're talking about a new building, then there will be no concern with regards to mapoiles. But you still wouldn't necessarily need to employ the reason of chashad because you've got the reason of mazikin. So we still don't understand when would it be relevant, the reason of chashad. So the Gemara gives a one-word teretz. And what is that? Betray. What's the Gemara's answer, betray? Betray means there are two people there. If you enter the building with somebody else, you're not alone. Then apparently there's no principle of mazikin. The mazikin only roam around or only damage when there is one solitary person there by himself. But where there are two people, so if you entered the churva together with somebody else, so then there'll be no concept of mazikin. So it turns out now we've just designed, maybe it sounds a little bit far-fetched, but we do have a scenario in which neither mapoiles nor mazikin would be relevant. And when would that be? If the building number one is new, and number two, you are not there alone, there are two people. So mapoiles is not relevant because it's a new building. Mazikin is not relevant because you're with somebody else. That's why we need the reason of chashad. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. E betray, but if we're really talking about there are two people, chashad, nami, leker, question mark. If you're telling me that there are no issues of mazikin, why? Because we're talking about that there are two people, you're not there alone. But then there's no chashash of znus either. As we know, look at Rashi on the second line. Chashad nami leka, the tnan. Because there's a Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, it says, Avol isho misyachedes, and isho is allowed to be alone, im shnei anoshim, with two men. The halacha of Yichud precludes, prohibits a man and a woman being alone in one room or one house. But the Mishnah there says a woman is allowed to be alone with two men for reasons we will not discuss now, but that's the halacha. So if that's the case, if two men enter this churva, so what are you telling me? If there's two people, then there's no mazikin. Says the Gemara, but for the same price, there's also no chashad. Because there is no concern of znus, one isha, with two men. So therefore, we're a little bit stuck now. Why did you need the reason of chashad? What was wrong with the reason of mazikin? So you told me because mazikin only applies when the person is alone. These various koichos will not strike somebody who is alone. If he's with somebody else, with two people, says the Gemara, but mimonav shach, if we're really talking about there are two people over here, so then there's no problem of chashad either. So therefore, we don't really understand what's going on. If there really are two people, so if there really are two people, then there's going to be no issue of chashad. So just like there's no shayla of mazikin, there's also no problem of chashad. Said the Gemara, two-word answer, betray upritzi. What does it mean, betray upritzi? If you know the sugya of Yichud, you will see there in Kiddushin that the Gemara distinguishes between two types of people. There are people that we call ksherim and people that we call prutzim. Prutzim are those people who are suspicious, they are suspect with regard to arayos. They're not sonua. So even though one woman is allowed to be beyichud with two men, but the Gemara says that's only with ksherim, not with prutzim. So therefore, again, this might sound a little bit far-fetched, but that's what we're talking about. If two men who are prutzim would want to enter a churva, the churva happens to be a new building. Is it mutter for them to enter or asa? So let's work out. If it's a new building, there is no concern of mapoilis. If there's two of them, then there's no concern of mazikin, but there will be chashad. The Gemara's kasha is, if there's really two people, there's no chashad, but with prutzim there are. By the way, I'm not sure if we mentioned this last time, this is an extremely relevant question. Very, very practical, day-to-day shaila. I'm not talking about enter a churva, I'm talking about women in the workplace. Very, very commonly asked shaila, and it should be even more commonly asked, and unfortunately it's not. We have a famous question. One of the classic scenarios of Yichud is a woman in the workplace, in the office. So what will be the halacha if you've got a woman sitting in the office with two or three men? So we could easily make a mistake. Because what would we say? One woman, two or three men, a mafurish, a mishnah, that there's no Yichud, mutar lechatchila. That may well be a mistake. Because the person who asked the shaila to the Rav, the Rav will have to respond by saying, one second, what types of people are we talking about? If they're Haredi people and they're Ksherim, yes, then mi'ikar hadin, it's mutter. But if these people are irreligious, which by definition would classify them as prutzim, then there's no heter of Yichud anymore. You have some serious, serious shailas of Yichud in the workplace. Okay, so we've finally worked out, we can now check one of the three boxes. We've finally worked out, why do you need the reason of chashad? And the answer is, for this rather bizarre scenario, or when you have a new building, two people are entering and they happen to be prutzim, not ksherim. So again, the reason of mapoiles does not apply because it's a new building. The reason of mazikim does not apply because there are two of them, but there is a concern of chashad because albeit they are two, but they're prutzim. That's why I need the reason of chashad. Okay, so we can check one box. Now comes number two. Says the Gemara, mipnei hamapoiles, quote unquote. You told me that there's a reason called mipnei hamapoiles, there's a concern of a wall falling down. So once again, we need to make our calculations. When would this reason be relevant? What's wrong with the other reasons? Says the Gemara, the taper clay, mishum chashad umazikim. I've got two other perfectly valid reasons, either chashad or mazikim. So who needs the issue of mapoiles? And what's the Gemara's answer? Betray the ksheri. If there are two people and they are kosher. So now let's tick off the boxes. If there are two people, then there's no issue of mazikin, as we already explained, because the evil spirits only strike somebody who's alone. If they are ksherim, then there's also no issue of chashad. So what's the last remaining issue is mapoiles. But even though there's no concern of mazikin because they're going with company, there's no concern of chashad because there's two ksherim, you still would not be allowed to enter the building because there's a concern the wall would fall down. Obviously, if it be happening to be a new building as well on top of it, then it would be mutter to enter because none of the reasons would apply. And finally, says the Gemara, mipnei hamazikin, quote unquote. You told me that there's a third reason. We're on the fourth line now. Mipnei hamazikin. When would the reason of mazikin be relevant? The taper claim ipnei chashad umapoiles. So I've got a reason of chashad. I've got a reason of mapoiles. Who needs the reason of mazikin? Says the Gemara. Bechurva chadati. Ubetray v'ksheri. It's a new building. Okay, so we can cross off mapoiles. And we've got two people who are kosher. So there's two people who are kosher. There's no chashad either. So what remains? Mazikin. So of course, everybody's going to jump up and down and say, what's going on? But I thought we already said that if there's two people, there's no issue of mazikin either. And that's what the Gemara immediately asks. I betray, comma. If we're talking about two people, mazikin, nami, leker, question mark. And there's no issue of mazikin either. If there's no issue of chashad, because there are two people, then by definition, there's no issue either of mazikin because you're in company. We've already established that the evil spirits only strike somebody who's alone, not somebody who is in company. Says the Gemara, bimkoimon chayshinon. In their place, we are concerned. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Bimkoimon chashinon b'mokoim sheheim mutsuyin todir. Now, please don't ask me to explain this because I don't know. In a place which is frequented by these evil spirits, if it's their place, then chashinon afilu betray. Then we have to be concerned even if there are two people. It's true that we said before that when there are two people, there are no mazikin, but that's only if, which is a place where the evil spirits do not frequent, they just happen to visit. But if it's a place where the evil spirits are motsui there, they're todir, well then even if there's two people, the evil spirits will roam. Now how am I supposed to know whether they frequent there or they're just visiting there? I do not know.
In other words, it's their turf.
Right. This is evil spirit turf. This is their home patch.
Yes.
Says the Gemara, the boyis aim. Alternatively, I can give a different teretz. La oila. Really, I can tell you we're talking about bechad. Ubechur bechadati. You're right. Maybe really we're talking about where there's only one person and it's a new building. Now, if it's a new building, then there's no problem of mapoiles. So what are you going to tell me? Because there's only one, that's why there's a concern of mazikin. That's true. But what's wrong with the reason of chashad? If there's only one person, there's a chashad. Says the Gemara, Dekoi Bedavra. We're talking about where they are in a field. Rashi says Bedavra is a besoda in a field. The hosam mishum chashad leka. There is no concern of znus in a field. Why not? The isha bedavra lo ishchicha. Because for a woman to be lurking around in a field is not a very frequent thing. Therefore, it doesn't arise concern. But umishum mazikin eka. But there will be a problem of mazikin. Mazikin are perfectly happy to frequent a field, but apparently an isha not. So when is there a concern of znuz? That's only an isha, not in the field, but let's say in the middle of the town. But if you move to the field, then there is no concern of chashad. There is no concern of a mapoiles, because we're talking about a new building. So what remains? The only thing that remains is mazikin. And that's the end of the sugya. So all of that was included in Eliyahu HaNavi's Musa Drasha to Rabbi Yossi. Why are you entering a churva? Surely there are a number of issues over here. Three all in all, whether regard to mazikin or chashad or mapoiles. And as the Gemara has just explained, all three of those reasons are necessary based on various different circumstances. Okay. Now, we're beginning a new Gemara over here. I'm not quite sure, to be honest, how to learn this. And I actually even considered missing it out completely, because the next daf or two is all agoda. It's not halacha. But if we're going to learn this perek, I think we should learn it in full. So we're not going to skip. But we will learn this quicker than normal, because I'd like to get to the more halachically orientated sugyas. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Arba Mishmorois Hava Halaylo. If you remember, we had a discussion, it was referred to. Now the Gemara is going to talk about it more in depth. The night is split up into various watches and various parts, which we call Mishmorois. And there was a discussion, in fact, here it is. Is the night split up into three or to four Mishmorois? So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbana, Arba Mishmorois Hava Halayla. The night is split up into four Mishmorois, Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe's opinion is that the night is split up into four. But Rebbe Nosson Oimer Sholosh. Rebbe Nosson says, no, I disagree. The night is not split up into four. It's only split up into three. Says the Gemara, let's try and examine this machlekes. My timer, the Rabbi Nosson. Why does Rabbi Nosson, I'm not sure why the Gemara discusses his opinion first. Why does Rabbi Nosson, where does he get it from? How does he know that the Laila is split up into only three parts and not into four, as Rabbi maintains? Says the Gemara, the Chsib, because the Pasuk in Shoftim. It says in Shoftim, Vayavoy Gidoin Umeo Ish Asher Itoi. Gidoin came with 100 men that were with him. Asher Biktsei Hamachane. And then it says, Roish Hoashmoires Hatichoino. Now, Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate in your Gemara? Roish Hoashmoires Hatichoino.
The beginning of the middle watch.
The tichoino is considered, is translated as the middle. Now, if you talk about a middle watch, then presumably it has to be an odd number. And the Gemara explains, Tana, we have in fact learned in a brisa, ein tichoino, the word tichoino can only be referring to elo, sheyesh lefoneho ulachareho. If there's something before and after, then you can talk about the tichoino. You can't talk about the middle of the number four, but you can talk about the middle of the number three. So in order for it to be a middle, it has to have something that precedes it, something that follows it. So that's why Rabbi Nosson says, listen, if it says with regard to Gidoin that he was in the middle Ashmoires, well, that tells me that it must be an odd number of Mishmorais altogether, i.e. there are three, there cannot be four. So now we throw the ball back to Rebbe. L'chayra, Rabbi Nosson has brought for us a very solid, concrete proof. If it really says, Tichoyna, then what do I see? I see there's a middle watch. Well, if there's a middle watch, clearly it must be an odd number. So how does Rabbi learn? Says the Gemara of a Rabbi, my Tichoyna, quote unquote. Rabbi will respond by saying, do you know what it means, Tichoyna? It means achas min hatichoina sheba tichoinois. One of the middle ones. Not the middle ashmoires, which would suggest there are only three, one before, one after. But he's understanding that tichoina means one of the middle amashmoires. In fact, there are two middle ones. So you have number one and you have number four. And then you have numbers two or three in the middle. That's how he translates this word. And Reb Nosson says, I'm sorry, I disagree with that translation. Reb Nosson says, Miksiv tichoina sheba tichoina is question mark, quote unquote. Does it say the middle ones? Rather, tichoina, quote unquote, ksiv. It says it in the singular, not in the plural. It says the middle one, not one of the middle ones. Okay, so we have a debate now. Rabbi Nosson is bringing a proof, and Rabbi has deflected the proof. Rabbi hasn't brought a proof to his particular position. He's just managed to deflect and refute Rabbi Nosson's proof. So now the Gemara asks the other way around. So what, in fact, is the basis? My timer, the Rebbe, what's the basis for Rebbe's opinion? I know how he tries to refute Reb Nosson's proof, and they agree to disagree. But what is the basis? How does Rebbe know that there are four? If it's true that there are really four, then you can translate Tichoina as one of the middle ones. Fine, that's to say that's true. But how does he know? How does he know? Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Zrika, Omer Rabbi Ami, Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, because we have a pasuk in Tehillim in Kuf Yutes, Kosuv Echod Oimer. There is one pasuk that says, Chatzois Laila, Okum Lohoidois Lecho al Mishpatei Tzidkecho. This is Dovid HaMelech talking, and he says, I would get up every night at Chatzois HaLaila in order to thank you. David HaMelech Kiyodua slept very little. And he testified about himself that he would wake up every night, he'd get up every night at the stroke of midnight to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. V'kosav echod oimer, and I have another pasuk that says, Kidmu einai ashmoy rois. Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate that with you? Kidmu einai ashmoires.
My eyes preceded the watches.
Ashmoires is plural. My eyes preceded the watches. Ha-ketzad. How can that be? It must be arba mishmorois hava halaylo. It must be that there are four altogether. Look at Rashi on the first narrow line. Kid mu'enai ashmoires, my eyes preceded the ashmoires, Alma. Chatzois lailo shahoyo David oimed. Shtei mishmoires yesh bohem. It must be that at chatzois alailo, there are still two more mishmoires to go. Again, if David HaMelech on the one hand said that I wake up at Chatzos HaLaila every night, and he also said that my eyes precede Mishmoy Rois, that's another way of saying that following Chatzos, there are still two Mishmoy Rois to go. So if halfway through the night there are still two to go, so clearly there are four altogether, two gone and two to come. So David HaMelech stands up at midnight and he says there are still two mishmoires to come this night.
Does midnight mean that there had to have been two watches before he got up. Perhaps he got up in the middle of the night and only one watch had, it was at
right.
the end of his okay. watch.
That's going to be the discussion. So at the moment, we're considering that Chatzos is the halfway point. So if there are two to come, then presumably there have been two gone as well. So two before, two after, that's four altogether. That's why, says Rabbi, that's my proof. That's my source that the night is not three mishmaros. There is no singular middle mishmaros. Rather, there are four altogether. Chatzos is the halfway point. Says the Gemara, so how does Rabbi Nosson deflect that? The Rabbi Nosson sovar lo k'Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Nosson says, I can always follow the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is one of the Tanoim. Why, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? Rabbi Yeshua said, the Tanan. Rabbi Yeshua oime ad shalosh shois. There is a discussion which we need to learn, Mr. Hashem, much later on in the test. Until when can you read Kriya Shema? Rabbi Yeshua says until the end of 3 hours. Why? Because what does it say in the Torah? It says b'shachbacha uvakumecha, when you go to bed, which we've had much discussion. What time is that? And then uvakumecha at the time that people wake up. So Rabbi Yeshua has his famous opinion that takes us all the way to 3 hours into the day. On the classic day of 6 till 6, that means till 9 o'clock. Who gets up at 9 o'clock in the morning? Says the Gemara on the first wide line, Shekein Derech Melochim, because that is the way of a king. La'amoid b'sholoi shois. Kings are allowed to rest and lie in. They wake up 3 hours into the day, which means at 9 o'clock. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua said you can say Kriya Shema until 9 o'clock. Says Rabbi Nosson, if I follow that opinion, then it means that Shis Delaila Vatarati Deyomama. There are 6 hours in the night. The Tarati de Yomamo and 2 in the day. Havelohu shtei mishmorois. What does that mean? The kings used to get up b'sholoi shois. I said 9 o'clock. I think it means that's a mistake. It doesn't mean 9 o'clock. It actually means 8 o'clock. I mean, the beginning of the third hour. 2 hours into the day, the beginning of the third hour. So therefore, says Rabbi Nosson, what David HaMelech was saying was the following. When I get up at Chatzos HaLaila, my eyes proceed to Mishmoros. Do you know what that means, says Rabbi Nosson? It means David HaMelech was a melech. He was a king. And he was saying that I get up, look how much earlier I get up than all other kings. All other kings sleep till the end of the night and 2 hours into the day. So that's two sessions. There's a 6 hour session, again, following Chatzos, during the night and 2 hours during the day. I am two sessions before that, i.e., I'm neither sleeping those last 6 hours of the night and certainly not 2 hours into the day. That's what it means that my eyes proceed to Mishmoros. It doesn't mean that there are four Mishmoros altogether. There may well only be three. He's not referring to that. He's referring to the time that most average kings sleep in. Rav Ashi Omar. Mishmora upalga nami mishmora is karilahu. An alternative teretz is that Rav Nosson could tell you, but really I maintain there are only three mishmoras. If there are only three, then how could David HaMelech say Chatzos there are two to go? It means there's one and a half. One and a half is like two. When he said that I get up at Chatzos HaLailo and my eyes precede two Mishmaros, what he meant was one Mishmara and a bit more, one and a half. There are only three altogether. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Mr. Hashem, we will carry on tomorrow.
Oh.
Very well, everyone. Well, to... okay.